Hello and welcome back to the QU TV Hawk Talk for the QU Media Podcast Network. I am Wyatt Randolph, joined today by Will Connolly, Shane Hulsey, and Alex Abishon. Welcome back, guys. Another podcast for another day, another week.
Another week, and yeah. This week's a big week. I mean, we talk Hawk Talk, we're talking sports, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll tease you a little bit. We're talking a little bit about sports later on in this podcast, actually all podcasts long, but we're talking about some QU sports coming up. You got to lock in because it's a countdown. But also, I mean, we're talking about QU, what they did last season, guys. I mean, record-breaking season. We're talking about record-breaking contracts. Patrick Mahomes, NFL starting tomorrow. I'm fired up. What do you guys think?
Oh, man, that's the best time of the year. Fall, baseball is getting into the thick of the playoff race. NFL starting up, college. We got college football going on right now. This is a wonderful time to be a sports fan.
I couldn't agree with you more, Shane. There's just so much going on now.
NBA playoffs.
Definitely, yeah.
And I love it.
So refreshing from not having any sports.
Yeah, finally some excitement, man. It's been real dull.
I know, and some people are like, oh, I can't keep up with all these sports going on. I'm like, I love it. I mean, it's testing the frontal lobe, every single part of the brain. I mean, can I keep up? Can I keep up? It's like, okay, we had nothing for so long. They say the separation's in the preparation. You had to be preparing to get ready to watch all these sports because it's a grueling task. I mean, some people can't keep up. Okay, we got baseball. Then these baseball games are seven innings long. And then we got NFL star. And then we got college football. And then it's tough to keep up with it all. Man. Hey, but I like it. I like the test. I like the challenge. I mean, some people might be complaining, but we got NFL starting tomorrow. And we better get fired up for that. We got the NBA playoffs going on as well, guys. I mean, you talk about Christmas being the most wonderful time of the year. No. It's when sports come back from quarantine. You got everything going on. Hopefully that time of the year never repeats, though. Hopefully that's a one time of the year.
Hope we never see that again.
Hope isn't a strategy, though. That's what Dr. Brian McGee was telling you on the interview. And speaking of interviews, we also wanted to play a little clip of your interview with Ethan Arns, because a new QU tennis coach. I mean, think about that. You go to QU. First, you go to Quincy Notre Dame, then QU. You play at QU. You're pretty good. And then you get hired as the coach after coaching at Quincy Notre Dame. I mean, homegrown. He's a big community guy.
What a conversation that was. That'd be fun to listen back to.
Here's part of the clip that he said when you talked about him and asked him what the new tennis coach
programs, Mr. Ethan Arns,
what he was thinking about.
Thank you for joining us.
Shane, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on. We'll have a great conversation with you. We'll take a couple blocks, chat up with you, see what your thoughts are on some subjects around QU tennis and also around the professional tennis world as well. Now, you've gotten this question, I'm sure, already several times. What was it like? What was your reaction when you found out you'd be coming back to your alma mater and coaching here at QU?
The reaction itself was just, it was incredible. Just very humble for the opportunity to come back to coach for my school. It was a great, great time being here for 4 years to attend school, to play tennis. And now the fact that I get to come back and coach is just very, very much humbling and just a blessed opportunity for me.
Now this isn't your...
I mean, it sounds pretty good. I mean, he's very humbled, and it seems like we haven't had that enthusiasm around the tennis program in a long time. And you get new blood, and that's his sole focus. I know last year the coach had other duties, and I'm excited for a lot of the passion that he's bringing to the program.
And also, they're bringing back a lot of experience, a lot of talent, a lot of older upperclassmen that are going to help lead this team. And they had some success at times last year. Ethan Arns was a fabulous player himself back in the day. He had success coaching at Q&D, so he's bringing some good energy to this QU tennis program.
Yeah, and it definitely needs that kind of energy. He came in. That was the fastest interview I'd ever seen. He came in, sat down, you asked him a couple questions, and then he was out. I saw him run. He had places to be. Yep. He's a busy man.
Oh, he did, and you talking about seeing that because you were in the QU TV control room. I mean, that's one of the most excellent, efficient jobs done in that control room as well, because we didn't have the man himself, who I'm looking at across from me, Alex Abishon, who's typically in there as well. But you and Professor Baldner were the only two in that control room, and we managed to do a whole show, brought him in, and now we're talking about him on a QU TV Hawk Talk.
Yeah, it was smooth as silk for the – lack of experience we had in the control room, but it didn't
will it
go
be smoother
really
well. With Alex in there?
Oh, I feel like it definitely will be.
Hardly. I'm sure you did a great job.
Technical directing is fun. You saw how smooth that that transition was a super coming up and everything. Like, I was really focused on it.
Yeah.
I had to make up for all your guys' mistakes.
How do you like the integration into the QU media world? You've been on a podcast. You've been technical directing shows. I mean, you're loving it. We're in aviation.
Yeah.
And now you're coming and diving into the communications. You like the transition?
Yeah, yeah. I like to talk a lot, which is good in aviation, talking to the radios and things. Once I started taking Nora's classes, I was like, this stuff's fun. I like to talk. I like the technical side. So it's been a real joy helping you guys and all this.
Yeah, and I know that you guys have a lot of opinions, and now I want to ask one. I'm talking about the bubble, right? We're talking about the NBA, right? And, you know, good content always comes from some good opinions, and I've got a couple for you guys. Top five players in the NBA. I'll give you mine first. LeBron, KD, Kawhi, Giannis, and Harden. Any opposing takes there?
In that order?
I'm not talking order. I'm talking top fives.
Top five?
Well, I tell you what. LeBron James being up there is definitely something that I agree with. KD, even though he hasn't played this year, one of the most lethal, if not the most lethal scorer that I've seen. That dude can score from anywhere at any time. So you can't keep him off there. Kawhi Leonard, good on both sides of the ball. The claw, man. Lockdown defender, great scorer. He can give you a bucket when you need it. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, transition, if you need to move the ball, or if, you know, you just got to give him the ball and say, all right, ISO, give me a bucket right here. He can do it. Giannis, obviously the Greek freak, and he really is a freak. The dude's huge, and you just can't defend him.
Yeah, he really has been a freak in the regular season the past 2 years.
He has been in the regular season. I like that you mentioned that. Jimmy Butler and the Heat must have found something wrong with him here recently.
Are we forgetting about possibly the best point guard in the NBA, Damian Lillard?
I don't know. Like, you can't put him above any of those five, though. Ooh. You can't. Man, I mean, you think about, I think KD's got to be a lock at two or three. Mm. And with him and Kawhi, obviously LeBron at one. We can't debate that. But, man, I'm saying you got to think about it. I mean, the other point guards, I mean, you got some good point guards in Lillard. And I think if you're just talking this season, I mean, yeah, he had a top five season, but you had a lot of guys hurt as well, especially at the point guard position. But what do you think, Shane?
I like that list. Are we forgetting about Steph Curry, too? Mm-hmm. Are we just discounting the point guards?
No, we're forgetting about him, yep. But not in the top. I don't know. Is he top five, though?
Okay, so my thought on this is Steph Curry, you know, the whole injury thing, and he hasn't been around, so, you know, he's kind of farther back in our mind at the moment. If he was still at the forefront, remember the Curry madness days, man, when he was just pulling up from, you know, 40
just
feet out.
Last, and this just is just last year. Down.
Exactly. Exactly.
The and days.
Just think back.
Well, he changed the game. Like, before that, did we have a bunch of middle schoolers pulling up to the volleyball line shooting it? Nah. Like, not near as much as they do now. Everybody wanted to be like Curry. And, you know, a lot of people can shoot from far out. Dame Dollar is a big, you know, 40 feet now. He's dialing it up. But, like, he changed the game. He's one of, obviously, if not the most pure shooter from behind the three-point line. It's just, it's hard to discredit that kind of talent.
Yeah, and it's easy to credit maybe a top five, but I think it really gets hard when you think about 6 through 10 in the NBA because you got guys, my mind goes, you got Luka, you got Anthony Davis, best big man in the world, you got Lillard, you got Curry, you got Irvin, you got Mitchell, you got Tatum, so it's like, it's tough, the 6 through 10, it's tough, but my last comment on the NBA is you got the best player in the world. You got the best big man in the world. Combine him for 60 on the nightly. Lakers in 5 this series, they may not lose another game. But you could say what it is, but there a ring is going on James's finger this year.
What about the Clippers, man?
Hey, I don't know if the Clippers can even get a game from them.
Clippers are deep, man. They're deep.
They are deep. And wanna know who was deep last year? The QU football team breaking all kind of records on offense, Shane. That's one thing that we alluded to earlier in the pod. But the QU football team, Shane, they had a new offensive coordinator, and they have a new one this year, third in 3 years. But they went nuts last year, breaking records left and right on the offensive side. And we kind of wanted to take some time in lieu of having no football now to kind of highlight some of the successes that they had last year. What are some things you remember from that season before we get to highlight it? I mean, I know you watched a lot of those games in the press box, Shane.
And then how that offense was, it was something to behold. When it was running on all cylinders, there weren't a lot of offenses in the GOVC that could keep up. Not a lot of defenses, I should probably rephrase that, not a lot of defenses that could keep up with that offense. I mean, it was the play's over, and 5 seconds later, they're snapping off. You don't have time to sub, nothing. So that was fun to watch when they were humming on all cylinders. The first thing I have to look back on is Run's 5-touchdown performance against Southwest Baptist.
Not one.
He was not one.
Not two.
Not three. Not four. 5 touchdowns in that game. He was – that's might be the best game. Well, I'll hold that comment for a second because there's another game that we are going to talk about a little later that might be have some competition for that. But at that moment – that was the best I'd seen Andrew Run look in at least the two and a half seasons that I'd been paying attention to KU football, and I would say he would probably say that was probably his best game that he'd played up until that point. That was something to watch, and obviously we weren't there in person because it was in Bolivar down at Southwest Baptist, but that was something to watch.
It was, and it's interesting because Shane was also somebody who tried to keep up with the offense and another play and another, and it's first and 10 for the, and another play and another play and another play. Like you had to be quick if you were broadcasting the game. They ran a play, it seemed like every 20 seconds, another one, another one, another one. It was crazy, and it was effective, and it seemed like that was the best offense to cater to a very talented quarterback in Andrew Rudd. He had a great season, but we forget. I mean, the defense did allow a decent amount of yards here and there, but they had some great guys on defense getting turnovers. Peyton Chappell at the top of the table in tackles for loss. Andrew Houston tied for the lead in GOVC in picks, but didn't get a GOVC team. That's another podcast. And then also you had Marvion Harris doing really good things on the defensive end, had a game with a couple picks that kind of concealed the victory for him. So, I mean, there's some big-time games. The one thing that I particularly remember from the season is the hype video that they had, the We Have 60 Minutes video. I thought that was really cool, and they blared it before the first game at home, and the team was 2-0, and everything was vibing. We didn't ultimately win that home opener and go 3-0, but it was I just vividly remember that, Shane, because we did game day. We got there early, and I remember we were just ready to run through anything because we were just hyped for, I mean, another year. You know, that was my senior year. I was really excited for that game.
And you have to like the direction this program is going. There's a lot of energy around it last year. And Coach Gary Bass harps on this. They've improved every single year for the last 3 years. They've gone from 3 wins to 4 wins to 5 wins. So they've been improving every single year, and obviously you got new faces coming in, new offensive coordinator. Let's first.
Do you think they can keep up that momentum, or do you think that the gap has kind of slowed things down, like training and things?
I mean, yeah, but the thing about that is though, everybody's on the same foot. Everybody's That's in true. the same situation.
Everyone's been held back.
So it's a clean slate.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we talk numbers in the spring, they're not going to play a full season, so they won't have that improvement, no, in the spring. But when we talk next fall, when, hey, hopefully everything is legit, it's the same amount of season that it always is. I see the program continuing to improve. I mean, they keep bringing in very good players, and I think that they're trying to continue to build a program. And a program isn't built in one night. Success isn't an event. It's a process. And that's what Coach Bass continues to say, and he's really embodied that by the way that the program has improved year after year after year. And you even think about what they did against Lindenwood last year, Shane. I mean, that's a team who went deep in the postseason, and Quincy was, you know, a few plays away from beating Lindenwood on their home turf. I mean, that is incredible. With they had Cade Brister, very good quarterback, and that offense was just electric. Quincy's defense held their own against them, and Quincy almost won that game. It was a very well-played game, a few plays away from beating a powerhouse, mm-hmm. and they proved to be in the nation one of the top teams.
Ended up winning the conference, and you think if they somehow find a way to pull that game out, they finish with a winning record. That's the difference between going 5-6 and 6-5, and you're looking at that season in a whole different light.
Yeah, and when you cap off the season and talk about the season, obviously this fall, we were expecting, you know, have football. You know, this past Saturday, a different gathering of Hawks happened. It was the graduates on the football field this past weekend. But, Shim, what about that William Jewell game? I mean, that ranks the number one memory, I think. I mean, I had them starting 2-0, run breaking the school record, but when you cap it off, an entire team coming together like that, and I want you to paint the picture just because you were there, and I wasn't there.
All right, so you have Quincy's ahead. I forget exactly what the score was, but William Jewell scores to go ahead late in that ball game, and Quincy gets the ball back, I think, with about 2 minutes left, a little two-minute drill action. They need a touchdown to win, and it's fourth and – gosh, what was it, 23, 24, something like that? And still don't know how Run managed to fit this ball in there. But Brandon Gaston in the middle of the field, about 30 yards downfield, in the middle of three or four William Jewell Cardinal defenders, Run, it took a perfect throw. Everything had to go absolutely perfectly. This was their last play. They had one or no timeouts left. They had to get this first down on a fourth and a mile, and Run throws an absolutely perfect ball, and Brandon Gaston goes up and snatches it out of midair for a first down when they needed it. And then later on that drive, Ossie Calhoun punches it in from the goal line. That is one of my favorite games that I've ever gotten the chance to call, back and forth. I mean, it's senior day. It's the last game these guys are playing. It was Andrew Run's last game. He breaks a school passing record, goes over 3,000 yards, and has a heck of a going out party. And to end on that kind of game was something else, and something to send the seniors off with.
It was definitely a pretty special day, Shane. I was there with you as well. Actually, I was up top doing the filming of the game, and I couldn't believe it. I'd watched so many games that year at home. And I didn't know if we had it in us. I was praying. I knew that, you know, Run needed something special. Gaston was, if somebody was going to deliver, he was going to be the man. And, you know, like you said, fourth and a mile, Run just throws up a prayer up there. There's a lot of red and white, or not white, I should say, since we were the home team. There's a lot of red downfield covering Gaston. And he just, you know, goes up there and finds it. And it was a pretty special moment for sure.
And what were your emotions? I mean, I know you filmed almost like every game that season, so you followed the team along at home, and I know you're up on top of the press box, and can you get hyped up there as a cameraman or like not? Because like obviously you're unbiased, you're part of the production team, you're a journalist, but also like you're up there filming, you see people going exactly. Nuts down there. Like what's your mindset up there?
So when you're up there, there's actually like not really anybody else up there besides, you know, somebody from possibly the other team filming. And, you know, even though I'm a GLVC, student, you know, worker, athlete and all that, I'm also, you know, an athlete here at Quincy, and there's not, you know, anybody up there with me. So, you know, when the Hawks are doing all right, it's all right to be a little biased. So I definitely cheered them on. You can definitely get hype up there. Obviously you can't yell too much because, you know, you don't want, you know, that to be picked up by any mics or anything, but it's definitely easy to get hype up there. You got the best view of anybody there. You get to see everything that's going on, and so you have a better idea of what's, you know, going to be happening before everybody else does, and it's pretty cool. And it's just really exciting to get to see, you know, the game from that angle. I was feeling all the same things that you guys were, you know, 2-0 coming back, really excited, really pumped and everything. And, you know, it's just last year's football team here at QU was really easy to get behind. It was a good group.
It's fun to get behind a football team. I mean, football is really, you know, in the fall, you guys talk about most wonderful time. I mean, I always think the fall is one of the most wonderful times because you got your Sundays reserved. You got your Mondays reserved. You've got your Thursdays reserved. You got your Fridays reserved. You got your Saturdays reserved, all for football. You know, NFL, high school, college, NFL. I mean, it's crazy, and I love it. And so I that's pretty cool, Alex, that you have that, you had that experience. And I hope maybe you get the opportunity, if you'd like, to continue doing some of that in the spring, getting behind the team, you know, seeing, imagine the emotions coming back for the first competition. You know, you have the freshmen and everybody battling the eligibility concerns, but man, it's just going to be a big exhale, it seems like, when everybody gets back and we hear they got it. Ball at the 25 yard line, a first down. 10 yards to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think people are real excited to come back. It's one of those things where you take something that's real good, been going real good away, people are going to want it so much more.
Yeah, you kind of appreciate it a little more. It's like, I got to go film. I got to go call those games. I got to go watch those. I mean, it's fun. And talk about games, talk about watching games. Tomorrow we're watching some games, and Shane picked out some games that we're all going to pick. We're all going to make our picks. The games are Seattle versus Atlanta, Green Bay versus Minnesota, Vegas versus Carolina, Tampa versus New Orleans, and Dallas versus the Rams. Now, we're going to go through just game by game. Each person give their pick. And since I'm talking, I'll start. I'm going to go with Seattle and Russell Wilson over Atlanta and Mr. Ryan. I say it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a 30-27. They're going to be balling, but Russell's going to come on top game one. And I say Russell's going to come on top offense. I mean, he leads it. So I go with Seattle.
I'm right there with you, Will. I think DK Metcalf is going to be a breakout star this year. He's going to have a big season, I feel like. And Russell Wilson and that offense is going to be humming. I think Bobby Wagner and the boys are going to be humming on defense. I think it's going to be close, like you said, probably a one-touchdown game, but I like Seattle. Atlanta is always a tough, tough place to play, no matter what the talent on that Atlanta roster is. I think they're going to be vastly improved. I think it's going to be it's a two-point spread for a reason. That game's going to be close. I think if this game is in Seattle, I bet Seattle's a 5 or 6 point favorite. So I like Seattle in this one.
Mm. I agree with you, Shane. I think that Pete Carroll and company are going to end up taking care of business here, but I do think it's going to be a dogfight. I never like to bet against Matt Ryan unless it's in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I do have to go with, you know, Russ, but at the same time, it's difficult to go against Atlanta.
It looks like it's a total sweep for Seattle. If they lose, we're all going to look like a bunch of idiots. No, I don't know. I think it's just – I think I've always preferred I love Atlanta, but it's hard to pick them over Seattle in this instance.
So a clean sweep for Seattle. I think it will be closer than a lot of us expect. I mean, we all expect a close game. I mean, Matt Ryan's good. Like, I like what you said, Alex. Like, I don't like betting against him, but, man, you got Seattle. You do have Metcalf. You have Carson. But you also have Seattle's defense you have to talk about. Like, are you stopping Russell Wilson? Like, man, Russell Wilson's got all this time to prepare. Man, oh, man.
This game's going to come down to the defenses. Who's going to make a stop in the fourth quarter? And I think it's Seattle.
I think another game that for sure comes down to defense. And I'm not saying this ain't a cap. Like, this, not every game comes down to defense. But, I mean, Green Bay versus Minnesota, that's going to come down to defense. That's going to come down to what team can get up and chunk the possession. And those are a couple pretty good running backs in that game when you talk about it. Green Bay, I think Aaron Jones is going to have a breakout season, a top five running back.
So who do you like in this one?
I like Minnesota, though.
You like Minnesota?
I like Minnesota. I mean, man, oh, man, I mean, it's a tough pick, but I'm going to go Minnesota. What do you think, Shane?
I like Minnesota in this one. I think the addition of Yannick Ngakoue is going to be a difference maker in this one. And you never want to ticked off Aaron Rodgers. You never want to face that. But I just think Minnesota, I think, is just the deepest team in this division. They're starting at home. How about a nice little division battle to get things underway? The top two teams in the division, probably. But, yeah, I like Minnesota in this one. I think it's going to be a close game again.
I might be kicking myself already. I think because Aaron Rodgers, man.
And I think Kirk Cousins, I mean, if he dies, he dies. He's ready to go. So I think.
Man, all right, Shane.
Losing Stephon Diggs is a big loss, but I think they still got Adam Thielen and the boys on offense, and in the addition of Yannick Ngakoue, that secondary is impressive. I think they hold the Packers offense at bay, and they get just enough from Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook to
And you got a top five running back in Dalvin Cook. I mean, come on now, what do you think, Alex?
Well, boys, I tell you what. This morning, when I looked over it, I thought that Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, Minnesota. But I had a conversation with my roommate, Gino D'Alessio, who is a Milwaukee native and a very biased Packers fan. And he brought up something that I don't know if this is true or not. So if it's not, then this is against him. But he said, don't ever count out Aaron Rodgers when he's mad. He said, Aaron Rodgers has been, top 10 quarterbacks twice in his career. And both of those years, he said, he was once the MVP and the Super Bowl MVP the other year. If that's true, which I probably should have looked up before I said it, but if that is, in fact, true, and not just some Green Bay fan saying that, I mean, proof's in the pudding, man. You can't bet against Aaron, discount double-check Rodgers when he's on, man.
I got you down for Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think I also have to take Green Bay. That's just kind of loyalty, though. I've always sided with Green Bay.
I'm changing to Green Bay. Is that okay?
Go for it.
All right, so we got Shane, the only one on Minnesota. Oof. Hey, and this is legit. This is all marked down on a Google Doc, and then I'll ultimately print it out so nobody can change anything. But we've got the first one, clean sweep for Seattle. The second one, three Green Bays and one Minnesota. Now we go to the next game. It is Vegas versus Carolina. Man, oh, man, that's just an interesting game. You got a new little squad out there. Actually, I mean, it feels like two new squads with Carolina out there and their quarterback situation. But, I mean, man, we can't talk about quarterbacks in this game. We're talking about the number one running back in the league right now. So you're talking about Christian McCaffrey, but we're also talking about a guy who I think is going to have a pretty good season. He's going to start off on the right bat. Teddy Bridgewater, I got the Panthers in this game.
And Teddy Bridgewater, he's one of those guys. He's never going to lose you a game. He's not going to win you 12, 13, 14 games all by himself, but he's never going to lose you a game. He's going to put up his 3,500 yards, his 25 touchdowns, maybe 10 picks. He's going to get the job done, and I think Matt Rhule is going to have the boys ready to go. Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and the like, and Teddy Bridgewater is going to come out there firing bullets. I think it's going to be a close game. Might come down to a field goal at the end, but I like Carolina at home. Vegas, a 3-point favorite on the road. Always tough to win as a road favorite.
Mm. I agree with you, Shane. I think the Carolina is going to take it. Teddy B, consistency, McCaffrey. Love it.
While I'd usually go with Vegas and the Raiders, I do think it will go the other way.
So we got another clean sweep. And, Shane, I mean, for guests that don't know, they obviously need to stay locked in every week. I mean, because every Wednesday doing the podcast, we're going to pick the five games, and we're all going to pick on them. We've picked three so far. Now moving on, we've got Tampa. This is my favorite game. This is going to be my favorite game to watch. We've got Tampa, who I think is going to win the Super Bowl, and versus New Orleans. Man, that's all. I just got to say, man, in this game, this is going to be 37 to 40 point. I mean, they're going nuts out here. You got Tom Brady, the GOAT, and then you got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, OJ Howard. Okay, let's add Leonard Fournette to our backfield. Okay, this is fun. Then you got Drew Brees, and you got the best receiver in the league. But I gotta go Tampa. Tampa and Tom. It's Tampa Bay. I got the Buccaneers. What do you guys think?
Let's just start off by saying the spread on this game is New Orleans -3.5. I like Tampa to cover. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think it comes down to field goal at the end, maybe 37-34, something like that. But I got New Orleans. I mean, they're the division champs, the reigning division champs. and they're at home. If this game was in Tampa, it might go the other way. Boy, that's a
Tampa.
I'm with you, Will. This is probably the game of the week. But I like New Orleans.
Definitely, I think it's going to be a dogfight too. Just sucker punching touchdowns back and forth. I don't know if defense is going to be a big part of this either. Just two high powered offenses.
But can't overlook the Tampa top five defense last year. New Orleans. Yeah. New Orleans defense is Marshawn Lattimore and the boys. Cameron Jordan. I mean, they got some guys. True. They got some guys.
It'll be a good game.
Definitely. Yeah. And let's see. I'm making this decision on the spot because Tom Brady's a legend. But Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Thomas, I can't go against that. I'm going to side with Shane. I got New Orleans in this one.
And that's fair. I mean, he's the best receiver in the league. Mm. So carry on. But you also got the second best receiver in the league on the other side, Chris Godwin. Keep going. What do you think, Wyatt?
Definitely Tampa. I can't go against them. I'm sorry, guys. It's a convincing argument, but no.
I like it. So we got two Tampas, two New Orleans.
I figured that'd be the case.
I like it. Split, and we're going to be locked in, and we're going to tap in, and it'll be a fun reaction next week. Will, you were wrong. You said this and that. It was a one-point game. Okay. Now we got Dallas versus the Rams.
Monday Night Football.
And da 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 ba 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 ba. Da 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 ba 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 ba. Da 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 ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. You said Monday. It's Sunday night. I thought that game was on Sunday.
It is Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday night game because you're watching the TV and they got "I'm waiting all day, Papa Sunday night," and you got that and it's like, dang, I got school tomorrow. That's what I always saw growing up as a kid. You're like, dang, you've been watching football all day, haven't done your homework. You got school tomorrow, but Sunday night football. Talk about broadcast. Talk about production. That's the best production in the world, the best. But getting off topic, Dallas versus the Rams. I think this is a decent game, but I got the Cowboys honestly winning by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, I think you got
Dak Prescott, Shane. I mean, Dak, he just inked something up. I mean, you also got CeeDee Lamb in there. Ooh, man. I like the boys. I like Dak. Dak is good. I'm going Cowboys. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the line on this game is way too low. Dallas at -3. I'm with you. I think Dallas wins this by double digits. I just think that Rams defense isn't what it was a couple years ago. And that Dallas offense, I mean, they have question marks on the defensive end, but that offense can put up 40 a game on any given Sunday.
Yeah, I think Jared Goff ain't putting up.
I tell you what, Jared Goff, capable quarterback and all, but I agree with you, Shane. I don't know if the Rams defense can handle it. I think that, the Rams offense is going to have a decent night, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up.
And they lose Todd Gurley too.
Yep. It's going to be, Cooper Kupp and Woods getting a lot of passes out there.
Yeah, man, I'm going to pass on the Rams, dude. It's not worth it.
So we got a clean sweep for Dallas. I'll recap the picks for us. It's the first game, Seattle and Atlanta. It was a clean sweep for Seattle in that one. The next one was Minnesota, Green Bay. It was three Green Bays and one Minnesota. That was Shane. The next, we had a clean sweep for the Panthers. Let's go McCaffrey, first overall pick in both of my fantasy leagues. And then we got Tampa versus New Orleans, two Tampa, two New Orleans, and then a clean sweep for Dallas to cap it off. We'll be all locked into that on Sunday Night Football. That'll be fun. That was good. I like doing this little segment, Shane. It was a great idea that you brought in, and I feel like maybe at the end of it, you're like, you guys suck at bad picking, They come at us like
going 1-4 every week.
We really don't know much. We're just acting like we know, like, I don't NFL. Like, man, I guess we'll see. If we do well, then I'll definitely act like an expert for sure. But man, oh man, that was fun. That was fun going into that, and I'm excited. You guys can't tell, but I'm excited to watch football tomorrow.
Football's tomorrow. We got in let's count down the hours. About 30 hours from now, from the time we're recording this, first game of the NFL season. We're going for it. We're going full speed ahead into this season. COVID and all, let's get it on.
I can't believe it. I remember just, what was it? Maybe a month, month and a half ago, I was driving down 12th Street here in Quincy having a conversation with my father. It was just after I had seen a post about the NFL, you know, possibly using those new style helmets. I don't know if you saw that back in the day, but I was looking at those, you know, questioning the breathability and just, you know, honestly, at that point, I was saying there's just no way that we're going to have an NFL season. I can't imagine it's going to happen, but here we are.
Yeah, that must have been one of the most exciting parts of the year. Just like, I don't know. I think people really latch on to sports. You know, you can get stuff can start coming back after the lockdown's done and everything like that. And I don't think anyone will be as excited for anything more than sports. Sports is what keeps people, you know, going, keeps people together, keeps people motivated. You know, I'm just trying to survive my Monday through Friday job so that I can watch football on the weekend. You know, like people love sports. So I think this will be a great year for it, even if it's just fan turnout or fan excitement, you know. So no, it'll be very exciting.
No, that's big time because I mean people latch on to sports and you think about teamwork and team chemistry and team building. I mean, you got guys from every single different ethnic background, every single different socioeconomic background, but none of that matters. Sports don't discriminate against anybody. If you can play, you can play. And everybody in a locker room, 25 people pursuing one common goal, that's unity. And that's what we need in our nation right now. So I love that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I need that inspiration. Need that to come back.
Definitely. Well, this was fun.
Was fun.
All right. Thank you for joining us in the Hawk Talk podcast.